Business Leaders of Today is presented by Tess Turin, marketing and advertising consultant, and Angel Nowlin, who specializes in business insurance and asset protection.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Business Leaders of Today. Our show will introduce to you many of the brightest and sharpest business leaders out there today. I am Tess Turin, your host, and I have next to me co-host Angel Nowlin. Good morning, Angel. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. It's almost time for happy hour.
I know it. So we have a terrific show for you today. Our guests in the studio include Donald Lamar, owner of Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint at the Mall of Georgia, Greg Cole, owner of Pro Carpet, and Chris Horn, CEO of Core Three Networks. Good morning to you all, and thank you for joining us today. So let's begin with introducing Donald Lamar, owner of Uncle Matteo's Pizza. Good morning, Donald. How are you?
I am doing fine. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. So tell us a little bit about Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint and what differentiates you from a lot of the other pizza places out there today.
Well, Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint is a very, very exciting new concept, a new brand, simply because it allows you to create your own pizza. As a matter of fact, you have the attitude of, hey, I want meat today. Then you can create all the pizza that you'd like to have in terms of 16 different meats. We have like 47 different toppings.
Wow.
And definitely we've got about 6 different sauces, 3 different crusts. So your attitude allows you to drive your creativity. So you don't find that in any other pizza place, I believe. So it's kind of a quick serve model, allows you to walk into the environment. It's really plush, and it's also it's very positive for your family. So we really love that place.
So tell me a little bit more about your philosophy. You do have a philosophy that you work with?
Yes, the brand actually has a philosophy in the terms of serve with love. It's very, very important for us, especially for my wife and I who actually own that location. It's because we want, in other words, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, pretty much is the base. But we want people to be able to experience that same love, not only in our service, but we want them to experience that love in the food that we give. So they walk in that place, they should feel differently, hopefully much more positive than when they walk out of the place. So that's kind of the love offering that we have for them.
Mm-hmm. So what special items do you have on your menu?
It's kind of hard to say when we talk about special items because mm-hmm. from the create your own concept, you can make it as special as you want it to be. Again, with all of those toppings, you can definitely put all the meat you want on there, or you can just decide that I want to have a light diet for that day, and you can go with one of the gourmet salads or even, for that matter, one of the specialty paninis that we serve. And, of course, you cannot forget about that sweet tooth because we have those cannolis, you know, that are very, very delicious, as well as those cookies and Coca-Cola cakes. So there's a lot special out there. And one other thing, especially for the fall, we have a limited time offer where we actually have a cheeseburger pizza as well as French onion soup and loaded potato pie pizza. So it's
yummy.
All great, great choices.
Okay, I have to ask, Donald, I got to ask. This create your own pizza, I'm trying to imagine this. It's like a hamburger place, like where you can get as many tomatoes as you want, as much lettuce, as many pickles, or are you saying, I tell you what to put on the pizza and then you create it?
The beautiful concept about Uncle Matteo's is the fact that you interact with the pizza maker. So as you're going through the line, you have this big field of vegetables right in front of you and sauces. Mm-hmm. And you just tell him, visually, you look at your vegetable and you tell him what you want on your pizza. So you can get a little of this, you can get a little of that. You can mix it all up, or you can take a little off, or whatever that you feel like you want to do that day. Be the masterpiece of your own pizza.
So it's kind of like making an omelet.
Yes, it's just like making an omelet.
Now, does this pizza come with a trainer? Because if I can put anything I want on it, you're going to owe me at least 5 pounds when I leave there.
Well, I'll get you a personal trainer for the pizza.
Well, the good thing about the Uncle Matteo's is you also offer a lot of salads for people that are on those low-carb diets.
That is correct. That is correct. A lot of good choices as far as the salads are concerned. So if you are, for example, I'm a runner, mm-hmm. and I actually just recently created what's called the Running Club there at the Mall of Georgia. And primarily what we do is that we'll go out and run on a Saturday, and I'll welcome everybody back to the pizza place maybe that afternoon, and I'll feature the lighter side of that menu. And so therefore, when you look at those gourmet salads, you can anywhere from Santa Fe salads down to your just regular garden salad. And, of course, you can watch your calorie count just from that.
I know you are very heavily involved in the community. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, what differentiates my store, since this is a franchised location, is that we differentiate ourselves based on the community presence that we have. At my store, every single month, what we have is a community service event so that our staff can volunteer their time. So what we'll do is we'll go around, we're looking for various causes to be a part of. We've done some things with a lot of the food co-ops, with something with some of the hospitals. Wherever we see a need, we've actually gone out and sponsored a 5K run. But we'll ask our staff what cause that they actually want to be a part of, and we'll try to involve that into the operations of the store so that our community presence is always out there. And that serve with love concept is a reality. It's not just lip service.
Mm-hmm. And I remember you were telling me about one specific event that you had for all the dog lovers out there.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Angel, I know you're a big dog lover, so you're going to love this.
I love doggies. There's people I'm weary of, but I love dogs.
Well, yeah. We had what was called, we actually kind of teamed up with Angels Among Us, if you're familiar with that organization. It's a pet adoption agency. And so what we decided to do was we would donate a certain amount of funds or sales for a particular fundraising event on a particular day. Mm-hmm. And the one of the most particularly interesting things we did is we had on our Facebook page a cute dog contest. And I kind of underestimated the amount of volume that we would receive on that feedback. And so we had over 50 or 60 dogs come in. And whoever liked those pages, whoever had the most likes of those pages would receive not only pizza, a certain amount of free pizza, but the dogs would receive a lot of dog treats, and we'd have dog bowls and everything that kind of make the pet owner, you know, just lavish in the fact that they've won not only the prize, but also that their pet would have an opportunity to get some treats too. Now, combining that is we brought out a lot of the dogs from some of these kennels that don't have, you know, owners. So we bring them out and we let the people come by the restaurant and take a look at it, and maybe they'd have a chance to adopt it. So it was a lot of fun, you know, a lot of dog lovers. I'm a big dog lover myself. My daughter has one that, you know, kind of makes me stay on the hook.
Your daughter, what kind of dog is it?
It is a Bichon Frise.
Oh. I have a half Pekingese, half Pomeranian. He is so ugly, he's cute.
Yeah, well. Everybody thinks that about their dogs like their kid. It's not true.
I understand.
Now, I understand Uncle Matteo's is a franchise. There's, what, 19 franchises
currently
in Atlanta,
right now,
Metro?
Well, actually, there's really 18 stores that are 18. Open. There's 15 stores that are open in the Atlanta area. Mm-hmm. So it's got a kind of a southeast presence, and it's continuing to grow. We've had franchisees as far as Canada become very, very interested. I happen to be on the Franchise Advisory Committee, so I field a lot of calls for people who are very interested in this concept. So, you know, it's a new way to think about pizza, and it's getting out there, and people are excited about being able to personalize the pizza that they want. For example, if you have a family of four, usually the father may want all the meat. Maybe the wife may want all of the vegetables, but the kids, they'll throw it around all day long. Mm-hmm. So everybody could come to that store and get what they want, and about 6 minutes later have a great-tasting pizza in an environment that kind of promotes the family.
Mm-hmm. So what separates the Mall of Georgia, Uncle Matteo's, from some of the other franchises out there in the Atlanta metro area?
My wife and I.
Great answer.
She told you to say that, didn't she?
For a few dollars. Got a few dollars I got to give her at home.
So for the people that that want to come out after work, do you have adult beverages?
Adult beverages.
Angel's ears just perked up.
Absolutely. You got my undivided attention now.
Well, we do have and do serve alcohol.
We thank you for that.
But I do keep it family friendly, right. You know, because I know a lot of people like football, a lot of people have sports, and, you know, how can you have a pizza without a beer? So we do have some of your import brands, and of course, we also have some of your domestic brands there in the restaurant. I don't have tap, but there are a lot of other Uncle Matty O restaurants who do have it on tap.
Okay. And I understand you have a loyalty program for your regular customers. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, the loyalty program is great because I'm not sure if you're real familiar with the way technology is out there today in terms of trying to do some analysis on your customer base. So 9 times out of 10, you'd have to get a card, like a gift card or something like that, and it will tabulate the points that you get. Here you come by the store, you make a purchase, and we'll ask you to put in your telephone number, and automatically, if it's the first time that you get there, you get 100 credits, so you automatically get a free 9-inch three-topping pizza.
Nice.
And for every other visit from there, all you do is go to the register, you put in your telephone number, your points are tabulated, you get additional 10 more credits for that particular purchase, and when you get to 100, you earn enough points to get another pizza again. So that loyalty program is really, really, you know, very popular, and it gives you an opportunity to not have to carry a card, but just purchase and receive.
Giving back to your customers.
Absolutely.
I love it. So I understand you own a technology company as well?
Yes, I do. I own a company. It's called Drayton, Drayton & Lamar. We've been in business for about 18 years, kind of like my bread and butter.
Sure.
I still do that. This project that we're involved right now with Uncle Matty's is kind of a passion project, as I'd indicated about customer service between my wife and I. But the technology company, well, I don't know what I could say. I would like to promote Uncle Matty's, but the reality is the technology company pays a lot of the bills.
Well, let me ask you something about the Uncle Matty's brand. You said it's obviously a new concept where it's create your own pizza. How long has Uncle Matty's, the name itself, been around?
Uncle Matty's has been around for a while, and for those that may not be familiar, Matt Andrew actually happens to be the owner of and also the franchisor. And the good thing about Matt Andrews is that he used to be the president and co-founder of Moe's. So a lot of people are familiar with Moe's.
Oh, Moe's, okay, yeah.
Yes.
In the Southwest, okay.
Yes, well,
I see a connection there.
He and his business partner sold that particular franchise to a branding company, I think about 3 or 4 years ago. And so a lot of the initial concept for making pizza in that fast casual model came from a lot of his early, you know, business practices with Moe's. So he turned it over into pizza, and he put a store out there in North Druid Hills and tested the model for a while. It became wildly successful, and he began to franchise it. And I just happened to be around to get a chance to get in.
So how do you go from IT to pizza?
Got that question a lot.
It's a big jump. I don't even.
It's a big jump, but I'll explain it like this. When I'm on the IT side, we work with a lot of big projects. I actually happen to be a federal contractor on the IT side. So the audience that I come in contact with basically are big agencies and big programs. So you don't really get a chance to get in front of the consumer. So the big jump for me is having to leave the arena for project managers and big organization to where I'm directly in front of the consumer, face-to-face with those who are actually sampling the products and services that I'm selling at the time. And you get a chance to build a relationship. And again, it goes all the way back to building that community presence that I had talked about earlier and from the earlier questions that you had posed. That's how you jump from IT all the way back over to pizza, because you want that personal face-to-face connection, and you want to see people enjoy it. You want to make sure that they're having a good time, and what better way to do that is if you're looking at a minor eye, do you like your pizza?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we are listening to Business Leaders of Today. Our guest in the studio is Donald Lamar, owner of Uncle Matty's Pizza. Football season's here. Christmas is coming up, office parties. Do you do any catering?
Lots of catering. We're actually just getting ready to get going on the catering for the holiday season. A lot of limited time only specials that are out there. We're actually setting up strategies so that we can not only cater to some of the smaller retailers, which will enable us to go to, you know, smaller places, but also some of the big box retailers that are over there at the Mall of Georgia, like your Best Buys, and of course your Costco's and your Nordstrom's, all of those big box retailers. So we have a lot of services available from a catering standpoint.
So you have the capabilities of catering to large as well as small?
Absolutely.
Business. Wonderful. And what about birthday parties for kids and things like that? Do you offer that at Uncle Matteo's?
A lot of birthday packages available for someone who wants to come in there with a family as well as all of their friends. They can just come in and see either the acting manager on duty or contact me directly. We can set up a package for them and they can have their pizza, some balloons, some fun, and a lot of other things that we actually have inside the store that promote the family.
Okay, great. I have to ask, being in marketing, what are your plans or do you have any marketing strategies for 2014 for Uncle Matteo's or any expansion?
Yes, I do. And I'll kind of prefix it like this. I'll kind of include what we do on a weekly basis, kind of give you an idea of how the brand is really built. For example, on Mondays we have what's called Matteo Monday. We feature three topping pizza, 9-inch, and a drink for $6.99, which is a little cheaper than you would get it on the average. Mm-hmm. Then on Tuesday, what I have is what I consider to be family night. Family night is one of those nights that I used to remember when I was way back when I was a little younger. I bring out the old school games like the Uno, the Battleship, the Connect Four. All of those, we'll put them out on the table. The family can come in there, they can get themselves a pizza, and then they can just fellowship with their family and the kids from ages 3 to 13 eat free. From Great. That, one other thing that okay. I have to add is that we have a free kids art camp on Saturday. Mm. So on Saturday mornings at about 11 to about 2 p.m., the kids can come in there and they can work on projects that we have on a weekly basis. And those are themed earlier in the week where you can come and work on your project and they can have some fun. We can eat some pizza and the parents can relax a little bit.
That sounds wonderful. Well, how can listeners reach out to you and contact you?
Well, one of the best ways to do that would be to go to our Facebook page because that's where you will see a list of events or activities that are going to be happening on a weekly basis and also on a daily basis. Our Facebook website is Facebook, in other words, Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint Mall of Georgia. That's our Facebook page. Now, you can also reach us via telephone. Our telephone number is 770-932-2020. So you can contact us in any of those different ways. And, of course, we'd be more than happy to, you know, show a pizza to you, create a party for you, or create some excitement for you. Whichever one, serve with love.
Sounds great. Well, we would like to thank you again, Donald, for joining us today. Angel?
First of all, let me thank you again, Donald, not just for joining us, but for bringing us the pizza.
Yeah, and the cannolis.
Oh, yes, and the little miniature cannolis.
Tasty.
Everyone, you are listening again to Business Leaders of Today with Angel Nallon, your insurance business specialist, and Tess Turin, your marketing advertising consultant. Our next guest in the studio is one of my favorite of all time. His name of his business is Pro Carpet, Greg Cole. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Angel.
You see how excited I am by getting my carpet cleaned?
Yeah.
So, Greg, tell us a little bit about Pro Carpet.
Sure. Well, I founded it in 1993, so we're celebrating our 20th year next month.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And basically, we found it on the principle you don't have to pay a lot to get your carpets cleaned. So our basic model has always been an a la carte discount model. So customers can basically pay for what they need, as opposed to big package deals that a lot of the larger franchises offer.
Okay, so you're kind of customized like the pizza place, so I can kind of get what I need. Kind of X what I don't need.
Exactly.
Well, what else do you all do besides clean carpet?
We clean upholstery, drapery, area rugs. We put in a large-scale area rug cleaning plant. Uh-huh. We do anywhere from $1,000 to $100,000 area rugs in that plant.
Oh, wow.
We also clean tile and grout.
Oh, you clean tile and grout?
Uh-huh.
Now, I assume that's a whole different process, obviously. So with the same guy that can come in and clean my carpet, can also do the tile and grout?
Yes.
We may need to talk later because I think I need that done. So why do you think people need what you're selling?
Well, realistically, if you don't clean it, you're going to have to replace it.
Pretty simple.
Like, right, but yeah. Some people go to the grocery store, rent the thing. I made that mistake once. I will never write this down, everybody listening, ever do that again. It was a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and I saved like $50. It wasn't even worth it.
Well, and the worst part is by the time you actually look at it and figure your cost out and you include the chiropractic bill that you're going to have to pay,
right?
It's really not worth it. Hire professionals. We do it right. And you don't leave the residue like you would if you go rent one from the grocery store.
Right. Well, now let me say this. I have been in Atlanta myself since 1989. I've seen a lot of carpet companies come and go, mm-hmm. some big ones and some small ones. Why do you think you have sustained for 20 years?
Honestly, good people.
Okay.
We employ some of the best people in Atlanta. We have high standards and expectations of our technicians as well as our office staff. Because we care about what we do and we take care of our customers, why we've endured while most of our competitors go in and out.
Okay, so now as far as why, if I'm looking for a carpet cleaning company, Grout, you do all those different, mm-hmm. you said you have all those different services. Why would I pick you over your competitor if I'm looking at you side by side? Because let's say I don't know your technicians, I've never heard of them. What would make me want to pick you the most?
Well, one of the things we recommend, we tell a lot of our customers when they ask us that, is to go to the Better Business Bureau website, bbb.org, and compare us to them. See how long we've been in business. Mm-hmm. See how many complaints we've had. We've cleaned over 500,000 customers over the years. And, I mean, our record stands for itself. You can read our reviews online, and we do quality work.
So now how do you get your customers?
A lot of advertising.
I've seen you a couple of times in my coupons.
Yeah, once or twice.
Every day. Quite a few times. Now, do you go out all over the city or just certain areas?
No, we do the entire metro. We go as far up as Gainesville, all the way down to Peachtree City, Covington, and then out to Dallas. So the entire metro.
Okay.
Now, Greg, do you do any water restoration?
We do.
With your company, I know you do a lot of services, but I read somewhere that you do water restoration. Is water and fire or just water?
We do water and fire.
Wow.
We also have a sister company called Dunn Restoration, mm-hmm. and that I'm co-owner in that. And we basically handle anything from water, fire, mold, any of those types of areas, those problems that you might have inside your house.
Mm-hmm. So when somebody gets that done, do you just handle the the cleaning of it, or can you help assist with the remodeling afterwards?
We do everything. We do the reconstruction. We have our guys. Small repairs we do in-house.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously have contractors that we work with exclusively that come in and can put it back completely, and then our guys come in, do a final cleanup, and move all your stuff back in.
Now, I know a big part of that is working with insurance companies. Do you work with the insurance companies on that?
Absolutely. We have one employee that she's dedicated to working with the insurance companies and getting the estimates over and getting them to approve them and then facilitating the work getting done.
Now, let me ask you this, because obviously having an insurance company myself and being in the insurance business, what is something your customers should know if they have an insurance claim issue with their carpet or their flooring? What is something that you've noticed they should know that they don't know or they should ask you?
One of the most important things, if you ever do experience a water damage, and we use the term water damage as opposed to flood, you don't want to use the word flood if it came from inside the house. Obviously, if it came from outside, then it would be considered flooding.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have flood insurance for that. So you can confuse your adjuster or your agent by saying, I have a flood, when it was actually water came out of your tub or you had a broken hot water heater. And sometimes they'll deny coverage just because you use the wrong term. So it's important that you state it correctly.
Okay. You know what? It's funny you said that, because, again, being an insurance agency, you were saying how when people say the wrong thing. So let's say they call you and what do they say to you that you notice is the wrong thing? Like they may need their carpet clean, or I've had a flood, or my tub overflowed. What do they say and make you think, wait a minute, what? But then when you talk to them, you find out it's something else.
Well, usually they say there's a little bit of water on my carpet. And you get there and you're about ankle deep.
Right.
At which point we have entirely different technicians that come out to that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people think, oh, it sat there for 3 days and we just need to come out and, you know, do an extraction. But the padding now has to be torn out. It's important that you get to it in the first 24 hours. Once mold sets in, then you have to do a lot more than just extract and set up fans and dehumidifiers. You actually have to start tearing out the padding and the carpet and possibly even the baseboard and the drywall.
Wow. Well, for, again, from someone that's experienced that a lot, I want to say again, good morning to everybody out there listening and our guests here in the studio. You're listening to Business Leaders of Today with Angel Nallen, your business insurance specialist, and Tess Turin, your marketing advertising guru. So, Greg, now you said you're located in Marietta, right?
Correct.
What is the best way that customers can get in touch with you?
Well, either our website or our phone number. Our website is callprocarpet.com. And or our phone number is 770-4-CARPET, or it's 422-7738.
Okay. I did forget to ask you, you have any specials for Christmas? Because I know for me, I get all my stuff done twice a year, usually right before the holidays and right before summer.
Absolutely.
Any specials out there for your carpet cleaning right now?
We do. We're running a 6 rooms and 2 halls of a basic steam cleaning for $94.95. Oh. And then we have a deluxe cleaning for, I believe it's $199.95, and that's designed for carpet that's black and is supposed to be white. So it's going to need a little bit more work than an average basic carpet cleaning.
Well, again, I want to thank you, Greg Cole with Pro Carpet out of Marietta, Georgia, for joining us today. And our last and final guest in the studio here is Chris Horn with Core 3 Networks. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So, Chris, tell us about your company and what you do.
All right. So, basically, Core 3 Networks, we create web applications. And usually when I tell people that, they kind of look at me and they go, oh, that's cool. And then they can walk away and they're like, I have absolutely no idea what that meant.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, you know, really to kind of give you an example, a web application is anything that you use, like say Internet Explorer or Google Chrome to interact with. A lot of people think, Facebook's a website, but really it's a web application. It's something you log into, you interact with, in this case, other people. But it's the same concept. When you go to pay your bill for, your power bill or your cable bill, you log into something, you make a payment. Okay, so it's something that helps facilitate a process that otherwise would have taken a person to do.
So what stage in a company's development would a web app be suited for their needs?
Well, it's like let's take a radio station, for instance. Okay, you start up. And you probably handle everything through email at first, right? You schedule people, you contact through email. Well, then as you grow, you maybe get more people that are handling scheduling. So then you're trying to figure out how to manage all these people. So maybe you do an Excel spreedsheet or something, and you try to track communication back and forth between people. And then, you might be on the road and someone calls, and now you've got to call someone and update them and remember to email. And once it gets to a point where you can't handle it anymore, you have to create – you need something that can help facilitate the entire process all the way through seamlessly. And that's really what a web application can do for you.
Hmm. So how do you determine the best company to handle development?
Especially when it comes to doing something like this, it's not cheap. You call a company and you talk to them and you tell them what they want and they're like, yeah, we got this. We can do it. And then, results may vary on how it turns out. One of the things that I would do is, one, make sure that they're doing the work in-house. Okay, this is not something generally people would ask, I would think, but if you're going to spend the money, you should ask, interview the developer. Even if you don't know what to ask, talk to them. Make sure they're there. Make sure that they're not sending your entire project somewhere else and, you're just hoping for the best. So
right.
That's
very important.
Yeah, I would.
I stress that to my clients as well. We do everything in-house.
Right. Yeah, it's very important. And, you might pay a little bit more for it, but if you're gonna spend the money, you need to do it right the first time. And like I would say, even if, you're talking to the guy, be like, I want to talk to your lead developer, and just be like, so, tell me some of the problems, interview him. Even if you don't know what you're talking about, interview him.
Let me just tell you, I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to web app, web development.
Mm-hmm.
So what would I ask you? I didn't even know to talk to the lead developer. So what would I ask the lead developer if I wanted what you offer?
Well, the first thing I would probably ask is standard interview questions. I would ask them, tell me a problem that you've had and, how did you resolve it? Just even standard interview questions, first of all, you're going to take them off guard. And that's always a good thing.
Okay.
Ask them, what is the hardest part about dealing with certain, clients? Just talk to them as if you were going to hire them as your own person to do an application, because that's really what you're doing.
A lot of people say they're in IT, and right. I can honestly say you actually caught my attention, which is hard to do when it comes to web development, because usually I glaze over.
Right.
But I do have a very important question. It just hit me. if I am you said interview them, mm-hmm. what's a credential to look for to know you may be getting somebody that's worth the money, time, and energy to put into them?
I would probably say there's a good chance, and you really wouldn't know this without asking that question, but what language they're writing in. What framework?
English?
Okay.
No.
Right. No, no, no. Okay. I mean, as far as the web language, because mm-hmm. there, you can tell a lot about a developer based on what type of language they're using. There's two major ones right now that are out there.
Okay.
Ruby on Rails. Okay. And there's a PHP framework called Laravel, which is what we write in. There's a lot, and that's the thing, like there's a lot of different languages out there, and you as a consumer would be like, yeah, I don't really care. You know, I just want it to work.
Right.
But
healthcare.gov. Right.
I know Angel's still kind of looking
at you. We just want it to work.
Right. And you know, people always ask me, they go, hey, you know, so what do you think about the healthcare.gov? Like what happened? You know, where do you think the, and there's all these like, you know, and I'm like, wait, hold on. First of all, that's not me, but you know, all I can say is that from what I saw, they said that they had like 60 plus developers on there. It's impossible to manage a team of 5 people, okay, much less 60.
Okay.
So, and another thing is, you know, the price on it. Like, my invoicing program, I don't think will do 60 million on a quote. It'd be like a Google search. It was like, are you sure you didn't mean 6,000?
Right. So that is a web app then.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. You're logging in, you know, hoping for something. And
do us a favor, Chris. Just give us an example of one of your previous projects that you worked on.
Okay. All right. So one of my clients, he does kitchens and cabinets. Okay.
Okay.
And his big thing is he does it in a very short time frame. And in order to do that, he has to schedule out contractors. He's got to create the quotes. He's got to attract leads. He gets leads from all sorts of different places. Well, when I walked in, he had a whiteboard the size of a wall. Okay, and he's writing down, you know, customers, you know, what the, you know, did they turn into a sale? Has he done the quote yet? How's the job being done? You know, did an installer somewhere call up in the middle of a job somewhere saying, oh, I can't make it, you know? So he just was like, all right, I can't handle this anymore. I need something to streamline this process. So we came in, developed something that, I mean, even when you email him, the website itself picks it up and processes it and turns it into a lead. Where somebody else, you know, an administrative assistant will go in there and follow up with them, set the lead status to, you know, confirmed, or they're going to come out to the showroom to look at something. From there, you know, they get the information, they create the quote, and then there's the automated follow-ups, you know, for some reason, yeah, we'll get back with you, and then you don't hear back from 2 days. It automatically sends messages through SMS or text messaging and email. And says, you know, hey, just want to let you know, just curious if you're still considering moving forward, you know, that status. A lot of this stuff is now being done automated. Okay, so all the person's having to do is look up at their computer screen and see where they are in certain stages.
Goodbye, sticky notes.
Yes.
I have 10,000 on my desk right now.
Right. And the best part about it is, you know, most of this stuff, all of this stuff is backed up online. Okay, so you don't have to worry about if your computer crashed, you lose all your data. You know, as long
oh,
as,
wow.
So, you know, there's, you can access it from your phone. You can access it from a, you know, an iPad. You can be on the road, you know, so that's a huge thing too, to be able to access this stuff remotely.
So when you set somebody up and they're up and running, do you give support afterwards?
Yeah. So I kind of attribute to the same thing as, you know, getting your car maintained. Okay. Mm-hmm. Generally, if you need to go get your car fixed, you're gonna, you know, you're gonna wait in a queue. You're gonna wait until it's your turn. But do you think if you gave the mechanics, you know, a couple $100 each month, that you might be pushed up in the line a little bit?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it kind of works the same way with development, because there's a lot of people that need things to keep on going. So that's where you kind of negotiate a support agreement at the end that says, okay, well, we'll give you a retainer of, say, 3 or 4 hours. You know, some people do more, some people do less. They kind of put you up in, you know, hey, look, if I have a problem, I need it fixed now. Otherwise, it could take a couple days, or you could pay more to get pushed up to, you know what I mean? So it's something in the beginning processes that you want to be like, okay, well, once this is done and we run into an issue or we want to have something added, you know, what do we need to do to kind of be on your good kids list? You know what I mean?
So it's not $60 million, it's like $50 million? I'm not sure. So what kind of price tag is someone looking at for a basic web app?
Sounds expensive, Chris.
Yeah. No, really, you're looking at, it, you know, it's kind of like building a house. You know, you got to, it depends on what you want. But I would say my clients on average spend around $20,000 to $40,000. And
$1,000?
$1,000.
Oh, there goes my web app.
Okay, now, but you have to think, it also depends on what stage your company is in. Okay, right. If you're doing a lot of stuff and you're missing customers and you're growing too fast and you need something to help manage it, it'll pay for it.
And, you know, I just thought about it. It's cheaper than an extra employee to do all that.
Exactly.
And insurance and all those other things that come with the extra employee.
Exactly.
And you don't have to yell at it.
Well, no, you can still do that.
You're listening to Business Leaders of Today. Our guest in the studio is Chris Horn from Core 3 Networks. So, Chris, I have to ask, how did you get started in all this?
When I graduated high school, I had wanted to learn how to do development. And I told my parents, I said, all right, I want to go get a job now and I want to start doing this. And they said, no, you got to go to college. I said, nah, really, I really think this is what I'm going to do.
They said that internet thing is just a fad.
Yeah, they were like, man, I don't even want to go into that. That was not a fun time. But, you know, I started working at a company called Interliant. They're no longer around. And I worked the night shift and nothing happened. I literally sat there all night doing nothing. And I said, this is the great time to start learning how to do this stuff. And so as I started moving on from job to job, people were like, oh, you do development? Oh, here, write something for us that does this. And so it went all the way up until about 2009, 2010, when I was like, I'm going to start a company doing this and just do this full time. And so really it took a good couple of years, 2 years really, to get enough momentum to do this on my own. It was a lot harder than I thought it would be.
We both know about startup companies, Angel and I. And,
absolutely.
And there are growing pains along the way. What have been your biggest growing pains?
I would say one of the things that I've learned the most, and people, this is an overused expression, I know, but communication is an important important part. And when I say communication, I mean when you're dealing with people, you have to anticipate their needs because they have, you know, to use – it's very analogous, but to use the house term, it's like if you went to someone and said, all right, I want a house. All right, well, what kind of house do you want? Well, you know, I want, you know, a couple rooms and it's got to have a bathroom. And, you know, they give you this high-level overview and then they say, all right, let me know when it's done. Well, you have to be very careful, especially as a developer, to not just run with that, okay, and be like, all right, I got the job. Let's do it. And the next thing you know, halfway through or, you know, towards the end, people are like, well, what about this and what about that? Well, you didn't mention that. Well, I just assumed you knew this.
Sounds like dating.
It is a...
I just had that conversation the other night.
Right, yeah, it's a painful
courtship.
Jeremy,
you wanted that. I'm like, that's common sense. Yeah. Right.
So I would say the thing that I've learned the most is slow down. Mm. In the very beginning, you've got to really... And it's on part of the developer and it's also on part of the client. You've got to get them to give you as much information as you can and you've got to ask as many questions. Now, when you're starting off, that's another thing. You're not going to really know the questions to ask. You're going to just take people by what they say and you're going to go and try to, you know, do what they want. But I've learned that doesn't necessarily work. I mean, people don't like meetings. But if you can sit there and draw it out and write down everything that you want – we call them user stories. It's basically you are going to write out, you know, as a user, I do this, I see this, I click this, it does that. Okay. And what it does is it gets people to, you know, gets the customer to really think about what they're wanting. And they always, 100% of the time, come up with new ideas as they're writing this stuff out. And as a developer, it's very important to know as much as you can before you start diving into it because just like with a house, if all of a sudden you decide to change something major, you know, you're going to have to rip out, you know, you're going to have to change the framework. And,
right.
And so that's I would say that's the thing I've learned the most.
Well, let me say, Chris, you're one of the first IT people I've ever met that actually has a personality.
Well, hold on a second. Donald has a great personality, right. Too.
He's a pizza guy. He's hidden in an IT man's body. That's not the same.
Well,
not
thank you.
The same. Absolutely. Oh, let me ask you something, Chris. When you said Facebook, it hit me. So if I couldn't speak to you from someone that is web illiterate, mm-hmm. If I can't speak to you about what I think I want and I see this and then I click that, because honestly, I don't really use a lot of those. Mm-hmm. I don't even really use Facebook, unfortunately for me. But could someone say that to you? I like this website. This is what I like about Facebook. This is what I don't like about it. This is what I like about Twitter. This is what I don't like about it, or Google or whatever. Would that give you some sort of idea of where they are in their head without them being able to, they couldn't explain it in words?
yes and no. It kind of goes back to your dating analogy. It's like, well, I like this type of person and not this type of person, but I do like this type of person. And then it's like, okay.
Right.
So now what? You know, it's – you can tell me everything you do like and you don't like, but until you literally take that information and then write out, you know, this is what you're looking for. And you can take certain elements and say, oh, okay, I like the way Facebook does, you know, its feed. Or and I like the way, you know, Twitter is only 100 and whatever characters, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. But then that just kind of – you can't just give them that. You've got to really spend some time on it, go over it, but then you can pull in little elements here and there.
Okay. Well, Chris, tell us what is the best way, if a company is out there listening right now, to get a hold of you to talk more about development. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
I mean, the best way, you know, my email always goes to my phone. So, you know, email me, chris@core3networks.com. That's C-O-R-E, the number 3, networks.com. Obviously, you can call 404-973-2312. Go to our website, core3networks.com. Facebook, Core3 Networks, pretty much anything Core3 Networks, you're going to find me somewhere.
And that 3 is the number 3?
Correct.
Okay, because that could be confusing. So it's core, the number 3, networks, plural.
That's correct.
.com.
Perfect. Absolutely.
Well, we thank you for joining us today, Chris.
Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure.
And I'd like to thank all of our guests in the studio. Donald Lamar with Uncle Matteo's Pizza at the Mall of Georgia. Thank you, Donald, for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for that wonderful pizza and cannolis.
Absolutely. And I also like to thank Greg Cole with Pro Carpet. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you came. I would need to talk afterwards. I have some carpet I need cleaned.
Sure.
And last but not least, Chris Horn with Core3 Networks. Thank you again, Chris.
Thank you.
If you missed any part of our show today, it is businessleaders.businessradiox.com. You can go to our podcast and listen anytime. Or you could also call the studio at 770-291-2067 and become a guest on our show. We are here every Friday from 11:30 to 12:30. I am Angel Nowlin, your insurance business specialist. My co-host here is Tess Turin, your marketing advertising guru.
Thank you, Angel.
You're welcome, darling. And I hope everybody out there has a great and safe Friday. And don't forget, what matters to you matters to us.